Kia ora. Welcome to episode 47 of the SWNZ podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
It was another great week for news from a galaxy far, far away, so let's jump in and talk Star Wars. First up, I want to talk about the live action series that are in production or going to be in production next year. I'm going to start off by talking about the Ahsoka series. This might be considered a little bit spoilery by some. We're going to talk about some news relating to an actor that is going to be involved and by direct extension, a character that one way or another may be involved. So skip forward about a minute if you want to stay completely clean from these spoilers or this information has been all over the internet in the past week and we just want to just unpack it a little bit. So the Ahsoka series hasn't started production just yet. It's presumed to start filming after season 3 of The Mandalorian finishes filming in about March, April of 2022. So we're expecting the Ahsoka live-action series to be available to broadcast in 2023. But the extremely interesting news that cropped up last week was a report from The Hollywood Reporter that Hayden Christensen would be involved in this show. That's very exciting to us. We know that he's being involved in Kenobi, of course, as Anakin slash Darth Vader in one form or another. And somehow he may well be involved in the Ahsoka live-action series. The Hollywood Reporter has been reasonably solid when it comes to reporting this sort of early material. But the thing that really cinched this rumour that makes it kind of a little bit more worth talking about than some of the other speculation or low-level rumours that come from various sources of people involved with production or so forth is that in a now-deleted Instagram post, Rosario Dawson, who is playing Ahsoka in the live-action series, made a post where she said, in response to the Hollywood Reporter link, "Sky Guy, they know. See you soon. Snips." Now, this is interesting for multiple reasons. Clearly, she is plugged in enough to be aware of what may be due to unfold when filming starts, and or some early filming may have actually taken place as some of these actors have been available or other live-action series. But the thing that really stood out to me, obviously it's now deleted, the thing that really stood out to me is that she's either done a lot of research or she's got material available to her about what's upcoming to know about the use of the nicknames Sky Guy and Snips in association with Anakin Skywalker and Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah, this was so exciting to me. I'm always excited when they bring in sort of established Star Wars actors to reprise their roles. I love seeing Lucasfilm being sort of loyal to their cast like that. It was super exciting to know that Hayden would be coming back for the Kenobi series, but I'm almost more intrigued about the Ahsoka series because we don't really know what time period this will be set. We assume, because Rosario will be the lead role, that it will be in the sort of post-Return of the Jedi Mandalorian era. So involving Anakin, we know that Anakin slash Darth Vader died in Return of the Jedi. So this, you know, speculation could be Force Ghost, or we see some manner of flashback to when Ahsoka and Anakin were working together. I would love to see that sort of dynamic in live action. Obviously, we got a lot of it in the animated series, and that's all fun. But there's always just something a little bit that sort of a little bit more tantalizing about live action depictions of things that we've seen in animation or books or comics and things like that. So I'm super, super excited to see Hayden Christensen involved with the Ahsoka series. Obviously, Anakin is the most central character to Ahsoka, you know, above Rex, I think. Because of that, such
long history and during her and, sort of formative years.
Yeah. They work so closely together in that sort of master-apprentice role. It's got to be the closest bond that she would have. And obviously, she's not that close to Darth Vader, so the reference of Sky Guy, it's got to be like an Anakin thing. Because obviously we have seen Ahsoka and Vader crossing paths in some of the animated series, which could be in this as well. She could just sort of be throwing it out there just as a kind of cute Anakin Ahsoka sort of little moment. Obviously, it was a deleted Instagram post. We can't read too much into it, so it'll be interesting to see. Or it could be all three. It could be Anakin and Ahsoka in flashback, Anakin and Vader, and then ghost Anakin. Yeah, so much possibility here. A lot of speculation, but it's just exciting news. It's just a shame that we'd have to wait so long, that they're not filming these series concurrently. They're they're doing them one after the other, which I guess makes sense. They've got a dedicated team, dedicated volume stages to film on, so they're going to do them one after the other. And that means, I guess, we're going to get Star Wars films released one after the other rather than all at once. Yeah. So lots to look forward to.
So obviously not locked in, but I think a lot more behind this than some of the other material that's floating around, so definitely worth talking about at this level and looking forward to. And as you say, the Ahsoka series is likely to be closer to the Mandalorian series because of what we know and to this point, and because of the use of Rosario Dawson as the live-action actor for this. So if this pans out to be true, Hayden will be, you know, showing up in series set at quite different points in time, because this is quite distinct from the point in time that Kenobi's due to take place. So we haven't talked a lot about the Ahsoka series to date because there hasn't been a lot of material to talk about. There's all sorts of conversations around the internet about some of the other characters that could be involved, Sabine, Ezra, and Grand Admiral Thrawn, because of the way things wrapped up at the end of Rebels, of course.
And also that moment in The Mandalorian where Ahsoka is fighting with the woman on the planet where she meets the Mandalorian and she asks about Thrawn. Now that Thrawn hasn't been involved in the Mandalorian, so I felt like that was a little bit of a jumping off point for an Ahsoka series. They're kind of referencing that she's trying to hunt down Admiral Thrawn. Thrawn didn't die at the end of Rebels. Dave Filoni had kind of hinted as much after that series ended that he wasn't dead. And this that felt like a really obvious, we're just throwing that out there for the fans. Ahsoka's on a little bit of a personal mission. Thrawn is alive. And it feels like that's the sort of thing that we might see in a spin-off Ahsoka series.
Yeah, like I say, there's lots of conversations about those specific characters and who may or may not have been cast for them. And without getting too spoilery, I think it's reasonable to talk about them as possibilities for the Ahsoka story arcs in one form or another. Because they're getting to the point where we're starting to fill in a lot of points in the timeline, I think it doesn't make sense to leave some of these loose ends just floating around. If we're revisiting Ahsoka down the line from beyond, you know, what happened in Rebels and just after Rebels, it doesn't make sense just to ignore the things that happened after Rebels. So we'll see how that pans out, and we'll get more information about the Ahsoka as production sort of ramps up early next year.
I definitely feel like Lucasfilm licensing is definitely getting fans sort of whipped up for the Ahsoka series, even though it's a little bit further down the line. I've definitely noticed a quite a noticeable increase in the level of Ahsoka Tano merchandise that's being available. We're seeing it from just about every licensee. I'm seeing sunglasses, necklaces, premium formats, hot toys, Gentle Giant mini busts, action figures, Black Series, like apparel, like whatever you can name, there's being an Ahsoka one up there. She's being brought up to the level of Rey and Leia in that kind of leading ladies sort of category, and they're really sort of pushing through the merch to sort of heighten her, I guess, awareness in the fan and sort of wider Star Wars community, the people that maybe don't read all the books or maybe don't watch all the animated series, trying to get the awareness and merchandise up there, so when the trailer hits there's going to be a lot more people that are aware of her and are fans of her ready to go.
Yeah, there's a specific, as you kind of imply there, there's a specific sort of sequence that marketing needs to take place to introduce new audiences to specific characters and to also cater to audiences that are interested in sitting down and watching stuff on Disney Plus but not necessarily delving beyond them. And so there needs to be a level of awareness be raised by way of marketing.
It just as a side note, it will be interesting to see, we won't know for some time, to what extent will they really explain the Ahsoka character in the live action series? Because if you're a casual Star Wars fan that's watched the movies, Ahsoka's never mentioned in here anywhere. She doesn't feature in episode 2 and 3, and she's kind of in that little bit in the middle, which is obviously covered in the animated series. But sitting down and watching all the animated shows, that's quite a feat for the average person to do and sit down. And so I feel like whether they'll use like an episode or two to get sort of the audience up to speed with the Mando, who was a completely new character. We didn't really need to be, you know, explained who he was and this massive backstory. So it'll be interesting to see, because obviously the Kenobi series, the Andor series, they already have movies that kind of set up who they are. It's a one and done sort of, you don't really need too much explanation about Cassian. Obi-Wan's obviously fully a central character. You can't miss Obi-Wan if you've watched some of the movies. So it'll be really interesting to see how they really set up the Ahsoka series.
Yeah, and they've got, and we're going to talk about this very shortly, but they've got almost the opposite problem with Boba Fett, is that he does show up in the movies, so people have been exposed to him, but so little is known. So there is a special coming out on November the 12th on Disney Plus that's going to unpack that a little bit more, and we'll talk about that shortly. And, you know, it's not inconceivable that we'll see something like that for Ahsoka, because, as you say, if you're a fan of the animated series, you're quite familiar with the character, but you can't really expect someone to sit down and digest the entirety of the animated material just to come to an understanding of where Ahsoka is and how she got there. Okay, over the weekend, the Hasbro PulseCon live stream event took place, and there was two main components to that that we want to talk about now. The HasLab Rancor, and then all the new announcements related to Black Series and Vintage Collection product from Hasbro. Let's talk about the HasLab Rancor first. Now, we've known about this for a little while, but haven't had much in the way of solid detail. But we have now seen the full rendered images and get an impression of the scale and what also might be coming with this figure. It's priced at US$350, which is a shade under the Razor Crest price. And it has four tiers of stretch goals. It needs 9,000 backers to get its first, well, to get confirmation of its release. And then beyond that, at tier 1, 11,000, tier 2, 13,500, and tier 3 and 4 to be announced. And they haven't said what will be released or included with the product if those tiers are hit. But a couple of details. Its size, it looks like it's actually physically larger than the Razor Crest in terms of, you know, a product and the packaging. It's 17.5 inches tall. That's 44.5 centimeters tall. Quite large, just standing on a shelf like that. But if you pose him with his arms up in any way or out in any way, his arms up, he goes all the way up to 27 inches, 68 centimeters tall. His arm span is 42 inches. That's over a meter wide. So that gives you an idea of just how large this thing is. 45 points of articulation all the way down to all the joints of his fingers and his mouth and so forth. And to cap that news off, it's already been listed locally at EB Games at the price point of NZD$799, requiring a $100 deposit at this point. When the Razor Crest came out or was announced as being in development, it's not actually shipped yet, of course, it was actually available via EB Games and Mighty Ape, so it's entirely plausible that we'll also see this at Mighty Ape. We're just coming out of a long weekend yet, so they might not have got around to getting it stacked into their database and online.
At any rate, having at least one confirmed local retailer is really exciting to see. Obviously, this is a big toy. I don't know. Obviously, it's not going to be just solid plastic. The body will be hollow, but this is going to be a pretty hefty figure. And I'm so excited to see it done locally because international shipping's a little bit up in the air at the moment. We don't know. Obviously, some people have ordered previous HasLab items through freight forwarders. That can be a little bit tricky. This one shouldn't reach that customs limit point where you end up getting charged a lot more, but sometimes it's just nice knowing there's a purchase price, a bottom line. You know it's not going to be unpredictable. There's no exchange rate fluctuations. It's in local currency with local shipping. It's all nice and tidy and there's no stress.
So just to reiterate, EB Games will require a $100 deposit to lock this in, and you'll pay the balance when it actually becomes available down the line. Well, just as a side note, interestingly, this is a shade higher than EB Games charged for the Razor Crest, yet at Hasbro Direct, it's a shade cheaper than the pricing of the Razor Crest, but probably not enough to really quibble about, possibly a factor of the changes in global shipping and such like. But I think it's super useful for us to have it available via local retailers, and also just makes sense because Hasbro are going to get more backing if they make it available conveniently to collectors all around the world. If they're aiming for 9,000, they want to expand their market just beyond North America.
I'm still quite sad that HasLab didn't get this international retailer distribution set up for the very first release for the sale barge. So many people in New Zealand would have locked that in at a local price point, a local retailer, if we were given that option, because it was really a little bit up in the air as to how big this thing was going to be in terms of its final shipping box, how heavy it was going to be, and whether that was going to be just one massive shipping bill and customs bill to import it. So it was a little bit too unknown. You didn't really know how much it was going to cost you all up. And just the headache and the unknown of whether that would even work meant that I don't think too many people in New Zealand got the sale badge out of how many people really did want it. So I'm glad that at least for the Razor Crest and the Rancor and hopefully all future HasLab Star Wars releases, we will get at least a local retailer that's jumping on board, because there's a good population of Star Wars collectors in New Zealand, and we don't want to see cool product being sort of locked away in the US where we can't get a hold of it.
This pre-order system actually makes it a reason, should make it reasonable for retailers in New Zealand to actually handle it, because they close their pre-orders before they have to commit to Hasbro. So they know the numbers that they should be dealing with. They don't need to commit necessarily in advance, so it should be reasonably manageable. And yeah, it was a real shame that we missed out on the sale barge locally because of the inconvenience of trying to get it internationally. But yeah, hopefully that's just the way things are going to pan out, because we've seen it with other non-Star Wars stuff locally as well that's been made available, and hopefully that will also continue, because if you're a non-Star Wars collector, there's some interesting Hasley products as well.
We know the likes of EB Games in their physical stores and online, and Mighty Ape, they do import some of the big hefty items like premium formats and big one-to-one replicas. I'm really curious when the Razor Crest is finally arrived in New Zealand, whether we will actually see it in stock just to purchase outright, or
pumped up their numbers to get some stores.
Or whether we see like a really big box sitting at an EB Games store. It'll be really interesting to see whether they just bet on that.
Yeah.
Because I did see retailers at Celebration with the sale barge just sitting there with amongst all their other stock, that a lot of people did just buy one for themselves and then one for their store, or retailers that just thought, yep, this is going to be a sought after item, let's just buy a few and put it on the shelf later. So it'll be interesting to see whether we see it just in stock or only the pre-orders being brought into the country.
The only thing that's mildly interesting about this that sort of cropped up over the weekend is that they made this announcement and they opened it up for pre-order at the same time as other non-Star Wars Hasbro products, which might leave a couple of fans, if you're a fan of more than one franchise, having to make some hard decisions. They, for fans of G.I. Joe and G.I. Joe action figures, they announced a HasLab really large scale fighter jet at a similar sort of price point to the Rancor. And, you know, not a lot of fans out there are also fans of G.I. Joe, aiming for two sets of fans who may actually overlap and may be forced to make a choice. And they also teased upcoming one-to-one scale Ghostbusters Proton Pack, which wasn't opened up at the same time. But again, these big price point items, you got to be careful how you pace them in terms of releasing them to the audience.
For some collectors, a big purchase like this is like your big one thing for the year. You don't really have wiggle room to do that, because it might eat up your sort of collectible budget and you still want to get all the regular figures, all the regular things that come out that year. So it is a little bit of a squeeze. That's a little bit of a shame to see. I am glad that Hasbro is using this system to create bigger expensive things that aren't really for the kid toy market. These things aren't going to be seen on warehouse shelves. But at the same point, yeah, sometimes some of these high price points, particularly with the sort of world economic climate we have at the moment, it's a bit of ask to put out so many sort of big expensive toys all at once.
Yeah, but on that note, let's talk about the other announcements that they made at Hasbro PulseCon, starting off with the Black Series figures. We've got a Mandalorian build-up pack with Din Djarin and Grogu and a spider from Season 2 of The Mandalorian. This is the third sort of Mandalorian build-up pack. It's a deluxe scale box where you get both the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda in the pack. They've all been set in slightly different scenarios. There's an original version, there's a version from the Mudhorn scene, and now there's a spider scene. We've got Mayfeld in Trooper Disguise from the planet Morak from Season 2 of The Mandalorian. We've got Boba Fett as first seen on Tython with the soft goods from The Mandalorian. So this is Temuera Morrison in his black robe and gaffy stick, which I'm super, super looking forward to. I expect by the end of next year we'll have quite a few Boba Fett action figures in our collection. Cobb Vanth deluxe figure from The Mandalorian. I saw a lot of excitement about this. It's being billed as a deluxe figure, so it's going to come at the deluxe price point. We'll talk about that shortly. It is available locally in New Zealand. But this is such a good figure and such a character that I actually really quite like. So unfortunately, despite the slightly higher price point, it's very, very tempting. So he's got a removable helmet and backpack accessories and so forth. Interestingly, there are three boxed sets that are tying into the Galaxy's Edge at the Disney parks in America. Three boxed packs. The first one is called an Imperial pack. It comes with Hux, a First Order AT-AT driver, an R5 droid, and a mouse droid. They're going to be available physically at Galaxy's Edge and Shop Disney. There's three packs. I'm not sure if we'll see them locally at retailers, but we may be able to hunt them down one way or another. This first Imperial one's quite cool. The AT-AT driver is the first time I've seen a interpreted First Order version of an AT-AT driver, but of course they've got AT-AT walkers in the Rise of Resistance ride at the Disney parks, so This AT-AT driver looks very much like the face of a First Order Stormtrooper, and the rest of them looks pretty much like an original trilogy AT-AT driver, but it works quite well. It's quite a cool mix. Also in the Galaxy's Edge bundle packs, we've got a droid pack with a tiny Babu Frick, a red BB unit, a K-Series Imperial droid. This one is K7R1, so it's like K2SO, but with different paint apps, a pit droid and a battle droid, and a Galaxy's Edge creature pack, which is a little bit smaller in size than the other ones with large-scale figures or full-height figures, and this includes a bundle of creatures like Porgs and Minox. Finally, in the Black Series line, we have a Leia Organa FX Elite lightsaber from Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. This is a very cool addition to the line. All of these Force FX sabers have removable blades of late, and they also come with very cool lightsaber stands, but the really, really positive, fantastic, interesting thing about this one is that, as you may recall, the design of Leia's lightsaber in The Rise of Skywalker has the very narrow neck, kind of like Obi-Wan Kenobi in the original trilogy, and it's very hard to insert a blade into this, but this product, this version from Hasbro, has two interchangeable emitters so that you can have it on display without the blade with a correct, very thin lightsaber neck, and it looks very cool because of that.
Yeah, I was always a little bit on the fence about whether I would want to see a licensed version for this reason. Previous licensed versions of Luke's Return of the Jedi green lightsaber, it's always out of scale because the neck is so much wider to fit that big light-up blade into the emitter. So I was always like, oh, when I love Leia's saber, but I knew it would suffer that same problem when trying to make a licensed version. So when I saw pictures of this on its little display stand, I was like, that's got a narrow neck. How are they doing that? And then subsequent pictures with the blade, it had a wider neck. So I'm like, oh, they're actually finding a way to please the fans that want a light up blade or sort of an accurate hilt to display and not having to choose one or the other. So I'm super excited that they're adding her to the lineup of lightsabers. It was such a distinctive one. It had a prominent role in that movie. So I'm super glad that Leia is getting her lightsaber added to this line.
And like I say, these come with the new style of stands that the FX lightsabers are coming with. It lets you display the sabers in a vertical position, so they actually stack quite nicely on a shelf and they'll look extremely, extremely good together. I think that's a much more space efficient and a very, very aesthetic way to display lightsabers. So it's all of the more recent FX lightsabers come with that sort of stand, and they'll look really, really good on the shelf if you just want to display them as hilts. And rounding out the Black Series announcements, they talked about pipeline reveals. In the Black Series 6-inch scale, we can expect at some point in the future a Figurin Dan, so Modal Nodes Bith from the original Star Wars and New Hope Cantina scene, a Princess Leia Ewok Celebration version, Security Droid from The Mandalorian, I think that's a Republic Security Droid, and a Force FX Elite Darth Vader lightsaber. Interesting that they're going all the way back to original trilogy Darth Vader in this new format, but I actually think that'll be quite a fun one to have. We do have Darth Vader lightsabers in our collection, but the Force FX ones are such, as we're just already saying, such nice display pieces. Quite tempted to get those key characters.
He's such a central character and his lightsaber is so iconic, but it's been a little while since we've actually had a full licensed version. Obviously, some of the most prominent lightsabers in the Star Wars galaxy are available at the Disney parks with their sort of legacy ones that come in a fun little box, but that's not really accessible for international fans in the wider Star Wars community. So it's fun that we have these options slowly trickling through. I do wonder if this is tied somehow to a bit of a lead up to Kenobi. We know that there might be some sort of Vader element there.
This is a pipeline reveal. It won't be out until next year, so you've got a very good point there.
So it could be interesting that they could be sort of trying to, because it's been a while since we've had a full Vader moment in official Star Wars content, so they might be sort of really trying to sort of hype up the big reveal, because we don't know how it's going to happen. We don't know how much, how little, but you know, this is going to be the opportune moment to really milk a bit of a return of Darth Vader, you know, Hayden putting the armor and helmet back on or what, however they put it in there. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we see an Obi-Wan down the line.
We were just talking about how they're doing variant emitters to have a display version, and of course Obi-Wan's original trilogy lightsaber has that narrow neck that they haven't been able to do in a bladed version very well up until now. So, yeah, that's a very, very good discussion point.
Obviously, there are so many iconic lightsabers in Star Wars, but Obi-Wan's has always had a sort of a fond spot in my heart, but it suffers from that sort of narrow emitter style. So I'm really hoping that the Leia, with its two emitters, is sort of leading into seeing the likes of Obi-Wan and Luke, Return of the Jedi, and anybody else that has a slightly oddly shaped emitter, that they're going to give fans this option, because that has been a little bit of a restrictive point, I think, for a lot of us that love a lightsaber but don't want that distorted scale. So I'm super excited to see what else could become in this lightsaber range. The old ones were super popular. You'd see them at every Armageddon. They were in stock, but you couldn't take the blades off them. So it really did restrict how you could display them. You know, you had them stuck in the corner of your home or mounted on the wall. But this new one, being able to take the blades off, means that you can have the hilts on display in a much more space-efficient way, with a nice sort of display all together, where they're not taking up too much space, and then all just the electronic blades all just stored away.
Yeah, they could sell those stands. I mean, I know there's plenty of options for lightsaber stands and lightsaber displays out there, fan built and so forth, but Hasbro could sell those stands by themselves and that would be just picked up off the shelves super quick. All right, from Hasbro Pulse, talking about vintage collection reveals, there is a wave that they're calling a specialty wave for 2022 that includes a range of characters with photoreal deco. The range includes Anakin Skywalker, Mace Windu, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Ahsoka Tano. They're the first lot that are actually going to be available next year, and are actually showing up at retailers for pre-order already. There is a Mandalorian build-up pack in the Vintage Collection line, as well as the Black Series line. And again, this is Din Djarin, Grogu, and the Spider from Season 2 of The Mandalorian. Following on from the sort of playsets that Hasbro's been doing of late, such as the Jabba's Palace and the Tantive Blockade Runner Corridor set, we now have a Navarro Cantina playset with Imperial Death Trooper figure from The Mandalorian. So this is quite a fun playset. It's got a bit of the bar. It's got a window. We haven't seen what it looks like on both sides of the playset, but presumably it's sort of interesting from the exterior as well as the interior. The window can be swapped out, so you've got a smashed version of the window from to recreate the scene at the end of Season 1 of The Mandalorian, or you can have an intact window if you want to just have a nice, serene meeting between Din Djarin and Greef Karga to talk about bounty hunting.
Yeah, this was fun. I'm always a fan of the Cantina playsets. Their pictures show a configuration where they've put two to sort of create a corner playset that I think would look fantastic as a sort of a diorama on your shelf.
And we also heard a little while back that they were doing a four-pack of Stormtroopers, an Army Builder four-pack. They have now announced that they will do a Rebel Fleet Trooper four-pack. So this goes with the Blockade Runner playset that we were just talking about, which is an earlier release that some collectors will already have in their collection. So Rebel Fleet Trooper 4-pack with four quite different troopers in it. So it's not quite just stamping different figures like this. The Stormtroopers, one of them had a pauldron and so forth, but these Fleet Troopers are a little bit different. I think one of them might actually be Captain Antilles, or at least has that variant costume versus the plain blue shirt ones. And pipeline reveals for the Vintage Collection, we've got ARC Trooper Jesse CT5597. And if I remember correctly, he was previously released in a 3-pack, which was a Hasbro Pulse exclusive and sold out extremely fast. So it's interesting that he, if it's the exact same figure or some minor variation thereon, will be available as a single figure on a card. We've got a 332nd Clone Trooper. These are the Ahsoka Tano decoed troopers with the orange helmet and the blue deco on their armor. A Mandalorian Super Commando Captain. This, I believe, is the Mandalorian with the red and black decoed armor with the Zabrak horns on his helmet from the Clone Wars. And also the Mandalorian in trooper disguise from the planet Morak. This is the scene where Din Djarin puts on the Imperial trooper disguise and later has to remove his helmet to get through the security face scanning.
Yeah, these are all fun ones. Ones that we don't necessarily have. So I'm excited. A lot of pipeline reveals tend to be characters that have been done several times. So they're just adding them again with like slightly different details. But I'm excited by this lineup. I feel like these are ones that are going to look good in your collection. And I can't wait to see them in their full packaging.
In terms of product releases, last week was week 2 of the Bring Home the Bounty campaign. Week 3 will be revealed tomorrow, Wednesday, New Zealand time. A lot of what they revealed last week was stuff we actually already knew about it, so it's not too exciting. We saw things that we already knew about, like the Mando Retro Collection Wave 2. We saw some old, already existing LEGO sets, many of which collectors already got in their collections and built up. And they also included the Droids Vintage Collection cardback figures, vintage style cardback figures in there. So those products are not new. We did see from Gentle Giant in their vintage jumbo line, a concept Luke Skywalker figure to go with a previously revealed Macquarie Darth Vader concept figure. Unfortunately, although this is just a new thing, as far as we can tell, Gentle Giant and his suppliers to this figure are not shipping directly to New Zealand where they previously did.
Mighty Ape and a few other local retailers do stock Gentle Giant, but we've yet to see if they stock some of the more newer things after this shipping change came into effect, so we're going to keep an eye on that one.
And one other thing that was new from the Bring Home the Bounty Week was a clothing company called Gold Sheep in the US, but they do ship to New Zealand, have done a range of sportswear for women and children.
This includes the likes of leggings, sports bras, crop tops, sort of that sport athletic zip-up jackets and things like that, and the same sort of matching for children. So there's a huge range, all sorts of Stormtrooper, BB-8, lightsabers, Star Wars logo, repeat patterns. Some of it's really quite neat, so check it out if you're in the market for Star Wars-themed athletic wear.
The company's called Gold Sheep. They're made in the US, so it's a slightly higher price point. And like you say, it's a very, very wide range, so I think it's probably going to be sticking around for a little while. All right, still on the topic of general news, during the past week, we knew about a Boba Fett special that was coming up on Disney Plus for Disney Plus Day, which takes place on November the 12th, the Friday, in just over a couple of weeks' time. We knew that this Boba Fett special was coming out, but in a teaser trailer for Disney Plus Day, we saw some actual screen caps, and a title was revealed that gives us a little bit more information about this Boba Fett special. I'm quite looking forward to it. It's called Under the Helmet, The Legacy of Boba Fett. And the clips that showed up in this general Disney Plus Day trailer included behind the scenes from Empire Strikes Back, actual movie clips from Return of the Jedi, and scenes from events like Celebration Europe, where Jeremy Bullock was seen in armor at Celebration Europe 2. So we get a feel for the sort of mix of content that's going to be taken into account in this Boba Fett special. They're going to be talking about Boba Fett as a character, but also the people that have contributed to the character and what's gone on behind the scenes as a bit of an intro, presumably to his leading role in the Book of Boba Fett.
No hint yet as to the runtime on this, but I would assume at least, I'm hoping for at least sort of 45 minutes, you know, like a reasonable sort of feature, sort of mini documentary length.
So that'll be fun to watch and talk about in a couple of weeks' time. And just rounding out the general news, a new LEGO Star Wars game called LEGO Star Wars Castaways will be coming to Apple Arcade on November the 19th. Now, Apple Arcade is a subscription service that's available on iPhones, iPads, Macs, and Apple TV. I think in the US it costs about $5 a month. Described as a first online social action-adventure LEGO Star Wars game. So it will actually be a game where you interact with other players in real time.
Locally in New Zealand, Apple Arcade is available for $8.99 a month. If you are new, then you can get 1 month for free. So if you wait until the Star Wars game is available, then you could try it for a month and see whether you like the game, whether it's worth subscribing to the whole thing. Apple Arcade comes with more than 180 games for that one subscription. There are other ones. There is a LEGO Star Wars Battles already in there, so there's going to be a little bit of a range for you to look at. There's lots of other franchises. I know there's a Star Trek game in there, so it'll be fun to see what this game is like on release and might entice a few of us to sign up.
Okay, so we talked about a lot of new products revealed at the Hasbro PulseCon and implied that a few are available for pre-order locally. So far, Pop Guardian is the first to have these all up for pre-order. They're actually quite good at getting things listed on their website fairly promptly, popguardian.co.nz. They have the Black Series Cobweanth Deluxe figure, $60 locally. Black Series Leia Organa FX Elite Lightsaber, $475 is the local price on that. And the Vintage Collection, Ahsoka, Anakin, Mace, and Obi-Wan are $30 each locally. We may, well, we probably will see these from other retailers, But if you want to lock your pre-orders in straight away, get those from popguardian.co.nz and use the code SWNZ5 at checkout to get an extra 5% discount on Star Wars products. A couple of other local new products caught our attention over the past week. From the warehouse, there is a Grogu, aka Baby Yoda, kids beach towel priced at only $15. That's a pretty good price and maybe of interest to the younger Star Wars fans as we move into summer. And a fun product from the Kmart, a Star Wars logo light, priced at only $16. This is a battery-powered or USB-powered display piece that's about 29 centimeters wide, so it's a decent size. It's just a classic Star Wars logo with an acrylic face that's backlit with LED lights. And $16 is an extremely good price for that. And on that note, that's about it for today's installment. I guess we're done doing talking. If you have any thoughts on topics we discussed today, we're definitely keen to hear them. Leave a comment on the YouTube page for this podcast or our website page. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you taking your time to listen to us share our passion for Star Wars. Stay tuned to our website, swnz.co.nz, for Star Wars news for New Zealanders and another podcast episode next week and every Tuesday. Kia ora, kia noho haumaru. Thank you for listening and stay safe.
Tūro Hawaiki. May the Force be with you.